Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you, Gloria. Thanks, Steve. Some really good information on there. I guess you just hit enter to change. Okay. There you have a picture of three soldiers. Obviously, it's not a picture. It's a sort of a kit drawing. Whoop, I hit the wrong button. I want to let you read that for a couple seconds, and while you are, I just want to make a couple of comments. One, Steve mentioned 2% have severe hearing and problems. I'm one of those 2%. So if you ask me a question, I may not hear it or I may not understand it. My bigger problem is not so much hearing, but understanding words. So Gloria may have to be an interpreter for me if I don't understand you. In my last career, my last job at the Department of Labor, that's when I started really losing my hearing, and that's when I started using hearing aids. And as a government employee, it made sense for me to be deaf because I could go out and talk to non-government agencies and tell them, you know, if you have questions for me, you know, this is going to fall on deaf ears. So it worked out very well. And in spite of all the best technology of the VA, I still have a pretty significant problem. How many of you ever had a hearing exam? Almost everybody. Did you find anything ironic about getting a hearing exam in a soundproof room? Think about it. So when I get my hearing exam, I'm in a soundproof room. I tell the audiologist, I don't live in a soundproof room. I live outside. I say, well, this is the best, you know, blah, 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 and so forth and so on. So they also tell you, if you don't understand, guess. Guess? What if I guess right and I don't know the word? So anyway, I had an audiogram a week ago Friday, and my hearing improved, even though I guessed on the side of error. If I didn't understand the word, I used to guess like bike. Okay, I would say bike. This time I would guess trike, and I'd be wrong. But my hearing got better, even though I guessed wrong. I don't understand it. So anyway, we're going to talk a little bit about some more statistics. I know Steve didn't give you enough data, so I'm going to give you a little bit more just so you don't go away unhappy. These are updated as of just a couple of months ago, July 15th of 2013, and they're from the VA. It talks about VA benefits and healthcare utilization. But before I go into this, I want to say something else. Gloria mentioned that I'm on the Department of Defense Recovering Warrior Task Force. And what we're charged to do is look at issues related to returning warriors that are wounded, ill, and injured, coming back to society, getting out of the military, going back into civilian life. And I asked sort of a rhetorical question. A lot of focus is on TBI and post-traumatic stress, PTSD. And I asked sort of a rhetorical question at the end of the meeting last week. I said, is the public health system, the private health system, and the VA healthcare system, are we collectively equipped to handle the aftermath of these two wars of TBI, of conditions related to TBI and PTSD 5 years, 10 years, 20 years from now? What will we be talking about in 5, 10, 20 years from now about the legacy of treatment of veterans with and wounded warriors with post-traumatic stress disorder and TBI? I don't know. As of June 30th, 2013, there was 3.66 million veterans receiving compensation. Now, that compensation can be for any condition that was created while on active duty or exacerbated while on active duty, if it possibly pre-existed entry in the military service. If it was something minor when you went in and then something happened, the condition got worse, you can get service-connected compensation for that disability. Rated 100%, there are 382,392 that have 100% disability, which means that under the current law, their disabilities constitute what they call under the rating schedule 100%. Doesn't mean they can't work. Yeah, I want to caveat that. I personally believe that everybody can work in some way, shape, or form. Don't give me an excuse that I'm too disabled to work. I don't buy it. I'm sorry. I just don't buy it. And more often than not, when I do employment workshops, I talk about if you were HR or if you were a hiring manager and you walked into your office and Stephen Hawking was sitting there waiting to be interviewed, what would be your first reaction? No way I'm going to hire this guy. Look at him. And that's what I think what a lot of employers do. They have a stereotype of people with disabilities. And Stephen Hawking, as we all know, is one of the smartest men in the world. Number of veterans receiving VA pension as of June 30th, 299,000, almost 300,000. Somebody that's receiving a VA pension means that in World War II, they served 90 days of honorable service, and post-World War II, they served 180 days of honorable service. They're automatically entitled to a pension at age 65 or before age 65 if they become totally disabled under the VA standards. It's needs-based, so it's not an automatic pension. There is a needs-based provision involved in that. Spouses receiving DIC. DIC is death indemnity compensation. That means that their spouse, husband generally, died as a result of a service-connected disability, died as a result of active duty, while on active duty, or perhaps died while the veteran had been in receipt of 100% service-connected disability for 20 or more years. So it's a pretty nice benefit. Not a lot of money, but it's a pretty nice benefit. But it helps keep those widows and widowers that would be eligible off of welfare or off of SSI, possibly. So it's a nice benefit for that population. Okay, you talk about health care. You've got 8.76 million veterans that are enrolled in the VA health care system. That's out of about 22 million veterans. So, you know, that's less than a third, you know, that are enrolled in the VA healthcare system. The VA healthcare system, take it from my personal experience, has improved dramatically over the last 20, 25 years. I just started going back in 1998 because of my hearing impairment. I go back now for dental and general medical stuff, and I can tell you from that experience, I hadn't been to the VA in 40 years, and now I just absolutely love it. There's 8.7 million enrolled in the system. In fiscal year 12, there were 6.33 million unique patients treated. Talking about PTSD, as of June 30th, there's 601,598 total veterans that have some rating of PTSD in their compensation. It may not be their primary diagnosis. They could have, you know, gunshot wounds. It could be paralysis. It could be blind. Any number of conditions, but they have PTSD somewhere in their diagnoses. So there's 601,000. Number of veterans in receipt of IU. I know we're guilty in D.C. of using acronyms and stuff. I apologize. IU means individual unemployability. There's 313, almost 314,000. Individual unemployability, I have a speech impediment also, unemployability is when somebody has at least a 60% service-connected disability and is unable to work. They can get 100% disability. Now think about this. I don't know the exact numbers, but I'll round it off. If I'm 60% service-connected, I'm going to get somewhere in the area of $1,800 to $1,900 a month compensation. If I'm 100%, whether it's regular scheduler or under this IU, I get over $3,000. So if I'm 60% and I get on individual unemployability, then I'm going to probably possibly also go at SSDI. Why would I want to go back to work? Think about it. I'm doubling my compensation almost, and I'm also adding SSDI to that, mostly tax-free. If it's SSDI, it's tax-free. Why would I want to go back to work, even if I could? The benefits are it's a disincentive to go back to work. 945,000 veterans going to school right now in some form, may not be school, but they're in some level of activity of education or training under the Montgomery GI Bill and the post-9/11 GI Bill. Not a whole lot of people still under the Montgomery GI Bill. Most are under the new post-9/11 GI Bill. 62,402 in the VA voc rehab system. About 10,000 a year rotate out of the VA voc rehab system, and 10,000, it's been, this number's been roughly the same for the last, 20 years or so. VA home loan participants, 1.87 million. Now this is interesting because when I've been seeing a specialist at the VA for my hearing through an ENT specialist at Georgetown University. But every time I go up, I see a different intern as a preliminary to seeing the specialist, and they're rotating them through the VA healthcare system. VA is a massive training ground for physicians. I'm not sure what the number is, but you can see right here, 117,000 went through the VA system in just in FY 2012. The number of amputees that are OEF, OIF, and those of you who don't know, OEF is Operation Enduring Freedom, and OIF is basically Afghanistan, and OIF is Operation Iraqi Freedom. I don't know what happened, but about a year ago May, DOD stopped putting out numbers on amputees. They used to publish it monthly. Now they stopped publishing it, but through some contacts I have, I was able to get that number. So 1,606, which comparatively is not a whole lot, I guess. Now, these next set of statistics comes from the Wounded Warrior Project. I'm on their board of directors, and they're doing some really good things with recovering warriors. In the past 10 years, and this is from some surveys that they did, and some data from DOD, in the past 10 years, more than 1 million servicemen and women have left active duty. Over 48,000 have been physically wounded, almost enough to fill Yankee Stadium to capacity. Those of you who have ever been to a ball game, think about the crowd. You know, not so much when you're going in, but when you're all trying to get out of the parking lot at the same time. Eight stadiums will seat over 400,000. That's the number of veterans that are living with what's known as the invisible wounds of war, post-traumatic stress disorder and traumatic brain injury and major depression. Now, this is from some Wounded Warrior Project data that I pulled, but it's also from the RAND study. They did some stuff on this. Types of disabilities. These are types of disabilities that veterans are coming back with. Burns, spinal cord injuries, amputations, visual impairments, hearing loss, and the two signature but invisible wounds of PTSD and TBI. What is not unusual or not surprising to me is the hearing loss. Because of the constant exposure to explosions, and even though they may never get physically wounded, just by being near the sound and everything. And I found out when I started losing my hearing that the VA had become pretty liberal on granting service connection for hearing loss because of acoustical trauma. Now, I stepped on a landmine. You don't get much closer to a loud sonic boom than, stepping on a landmine. But it took me from 1967 to 1998 before I really started having hearing problems. So 31 years after my injury, I started having significant hearing problems. So if we're seeing hearing problems now among this younger generation, what are we going to see 10, 15, 20 years from now among them? CBS News had reported a 60% return home from Iraq and Afghanistan with some kind of hearing loss. Amputations I've already mentioned. Post-traumatic stress disorder, TBI, are both considered the signature injuries as well as invisible. TBI is not always invisible, but severe TBI, if there's been a gunshot or some sort of a traumatic wound to the head, you're going to have some visual ability to see somebody's condition. Many with severe TBI have significant cognitive issues and mobility issues. They might be in a wheelchair. But TBI or PTSD pretty much is invisible unless you get up close to somebody, and you can sometimes see something. You won't be able to diagnose it necessarily, but you can tell something's wrong. There was much discussion about dropping the D in the DSM-5, but it was retained, so it is still being called. Someone in the Department of Defense wanted to drop the D, but anyway, it was retained, and I have some. I won't go into it. What we're seeing, I'm also a consultant to the National Organization on Disability. And the National Organization on Disability, in cooperation with the Army's Wounded Warrior Program, AW2, and no funding from the Army, no funding from DOD, they did it on their own through their own grants that they have with private sector and the foundations. But what they did was they found that, and this is not rocket science, I mean, it's just a lot of this makes sense. Transition is rough, going from the military back to civilian life. When you take somebody, a lot of these men and women coming out are young. They came out of high school, went right into the military. Now they're going to try to transition back into society. Many want to go back to school. They're 22, 23 years old. They're in class with 18, 19-year-olds. There's already a gap there just of age alone. And then the maturity that they gain in the military. So just imagine if you're 22 and you're in class with somebody that's 18 just out of high school. And I'm obviously not talking pejoratively against 18-year-olds. But there's just that level of maturity that they've gained from being 4 years older, from being in the military, from being overseas, from being in combat, from experiencing a lot of stress that, that 18-year-olds don't experience. Many avoid, they may avoid the VA because they don't understand the VA. They're bombarded with information, absolutely bombarded. There's two major electronic resources for wounded warriors and other veterans. One is the National Resource Directory. The National Resource Directory is a collaborative between VA, DOD, and Department of Labor. 14,000 resources. 14,000. If you go to the Warrior Gateway, which was started initially by the Business for Executives in National Security, BENS, they've got over 50,000 resources. So you wake up at Walter Reed, you're missing a limb, maybe you have severe PTSD, and you say, where do I go to help for help? Somebody said, oh, here you go, go to the NRD and go to the Warrior Gateway. Okay, 65,000 resources. Boy, my problems are solved. So anyway, there's a problem there. They struggle with the complexity of systems and processes. Those of you who are involved in government, and again, this is not a pejorative statement against the government, it is complex. It can be very, very confusing and very, very daunting. They need help in navigating these systems and getting the benefits that they're entitled to. Over the next 4 years, we're going to see 1.5 million service members exit the military. That's as of now. Now, with the drawdown and the budget stuff, that may increase. We know that separating service members are highly trained in many, many ways. How does this affect the family unit? This impacts the veteran whether or not the family is served or isn't served. And in many cases, the family doesn't get anything. They get very little. If you're wounded, ill, or injured, and you're in the hospital, usually the families are pretty well, at least they make a strong attempt to help the families cope with this and deal with it and get information. But those who are just normally transitioning without any disability, there's no help for the family. So now you've got a spouse coming back after three or four deployments. You may be the wife of that service member, and you've been taking care of all these childhood or household tasks and budget, shopping, et cetera, all the repairs. Now all of a sudden, the man of the house is back, and what do I fit into this now? How do I fit into this? Both from the returning service member standpoint and the wife, or in the other way around, if the husband has been the person at home and the wife has been the active duty service member. A lot of issues going around the family. PTSD and TBI impact the family even to a larger, much larger degree. Early planning around family needs can increase the possibility of success. Is it being done to some extent? Yes. Is it being done enough? No. It needs to be done more. The change in the financial situation can also create stress during and soon after discharge. Barriers to a successful transition. The individual's self-perception, self-esteem, and are critical to success. They have to have a positive perception. If they have a positive perception of their health, it increases their confidence and ability to achieve career goals. One of the interesting things that I've seen in dealing with some of the warriors coming back from these two wars is their attitude. First thing that they say when they wake up at Walter Reed, when can I go back to my unit? I can't. I have to go back to my friends. I got to go back. I got to help them. So they, to me, that's a sign of a positive perception of themselves. There's a stigma. I think we all know the stigma attached to cognitive and psychological injuries can influence decision. And that stigma is not unique to veterans or returning warriors. PTSD, you know, my generation of Vietnam, you know, we really, really helped create it. Those of you who are old enough to remember some of the shows of the 60s and 70s, you know, the bad guy was always a Vietnam vet with PTSD and just ready to, you know, explode and kill everybody. That stigma has carried over to this generation. Not quite as bad, but it's still there. ability to achieve their career goals is more correlated to meaningful activity and perception of health than to disability determination. But let me give you an observation again. On the task force, on the Department of Defense, we do site visits. We have met wounded warriors still in the hospital more 3 years and longer post-injury. Well, guess what? In my opinion, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a clinician, but if I'm in the hospital for 3 years, I start to believe I'm disabled and can't do anything. I fall into the disability syndrome, and I start looking for VA benefits and SSDI, figuring if I can't work now, I'm never going to be able to work. So, that's it. They fall into that syndrome. Hidden injuries, PTSD, TBI, associated stigma and the stereotype. Stereotype separates the person. The person then is avoided, stigmatized, and isolated. Limited work opportunities. Steve gave some very, very disturbing figures in my mind. Only one-third of the working age people with disabilities population is working. You know, the unemployment rate is not that high, but the people out of the labor force is like 60%, almost two-thirds. Well, guess what? If you're out of the labor force, you're unemployed. You know, whether that's by choice, by chance, or whatever, you're still unemployed. So look at the number that are employed, which is a very, very small number, percentage rather. Limited work opportunities, limited relationships except with others who also have vulnerabilities. Am I okay on time? How many minutes? Okay, I'm trying to go a little bit faster. The Wounded Warrior Careers Program that NOD, National Organization of Disability, started, they brought me on a year ago in November to be a consultant to them on this program in D.C. They don't have a D.C. presence, so I'm basically their D.C. office and go to a lot of meetings for them and a lot of other things. But they were helping severely wounded, ill, and injured warriors transition to work. They work with the wounded warriors in the Army that are referred to them by the Army. So generally, if a veteran would walk into their office that's not referred by the Army, they would, you know, help them in terms of giving them information, giving them alternative resources, and so forth and so on. But they're not able to work with them directly. So you get some help, but not to the extent that the wounded and injured that the Army sends. Again, I don't want to speak pejoratively of the Army, but guess who the Army sends to them? Their worst cases. Severe TBI, severe PTSD, other disabilities. I went to North Carolina 3 years ago to their conference. This was, I was still at the Department of Labor. And I got to meet several of the wounded warriors that they were serving in the North Carolina area. And I talked to one of the gentlemen. He was probably in his early 40s. And I said, what are you doing? He said, nothing. I said, when are you going to go to work? He says, I'm not. I said, why? He said, they told me I'm not allowed to work. I said, what? He said, yeah, they said I can't work. And I said, well, you know, why can't you work? I don't know. They just told me I can't work. Not that he wasn't allowed, that he can't go to work. Well, I found out later from his caseworker that he lived in the north, west corner of North Carolina in the mountains that had a Dairy Queen and a used car dealership. The guy was getting 100% from the VA and SSDI. Here's the guy that I was talking about earlier. Where's the incentive for him to go to work? He's going to have to leave his little community, which he's not going to do because that's where his family and his support network is. So that, to some extent, is the type of individuals. 75% of who they served had either TBI and or PTSD. 70%, again, the numbers are small. We're talking about roughly 350 that went through the program. 70% either went on to work, back to school, or a combination of part-time work and part-time school. Pretty high success rate for these individuals with severe disabilities. Their average starting salary of those that went to work full-time, $35,000 a year. Now, you compare that to the VA voc rehab system, who complete 4 years of college, it's about $37,000 a year. Not a whole lot of disparity in the numbers. If you look at veterans that are being served through the public employment service, the job service, they keep changing their name. My feeling about that is, you know, you buy a new car and it's basically a lemon. It keeps breaking down. So you take it to Maaco and you get it painted. Well, guess what? You still have the same car. It's just a different color. So by changing the name, is it going to improve the services? The average starting salary coming out of the public system, the job service for veterans, is $16,000 a year. $16,000 a year. So you wonder if you wonder why employers don't want to go there. You know, that's one of the reasons. Anyway, Return to Careers is one of the programs as part of the Wounded Warrior Careers. There was research done for NISH and the Institute for Economic Empowerment to identify career interest and expand supported employment opportunities. Demonstration program was designed to improve the career transition experience for the most seriously wounded, ill, and injured veterans that I just mentioned. NOD accomplished this by demonstrating innovative best practices in direct services to Wounded Warrior at three sites, North Carolina, Dallas, and Colorado Springs. Let me give you an example of one of the things that they did. This is in North Carolina. The guy, one of the warriors they're working with, calls up his caseworker Saturday morning, 6 a.m. I got to go to work. My car won't start. The caseworker gets out of bed, drives up to the guy's house, drives him to work, goes back to the guy's house, calls the local garage, has a tow truck. The tow truck comes up, gets his car, takes it down, fixes his car. The caseworker picks the guy up after work, takes him back to pick up his car. No cost to the veteran. The National Organization of Disability paid for all that. Now, even under the best of circumstances, you're not going to find a caseworker that's going to do that on a Saturday morning, 6 a.m. If he hadn't done that, where would this guy be? What would this guy have done? Who knows? He probably would have never made it to work. And then what would have happened after that? Who knows? I don't know. One thing I think a lot of returning warriors, OAF, OIF, and OND. OND is Operation New Dawn, and that was basically the peacekeeping group that was left back in Iraq after we pulled our troops out. Veterans can receive free medical care at the VA for any condition. No questions. Walk in, show your discharge paper. You can get treated by the VA for free for any condition up to 5 years after they get discharged. Excuse me. So if you have any veterans you're working with, there's the link to how you can get information on that. There's my contact information, and I thank you for your attention, and we'll answer questions later. Thank you.